Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Tonight, the message is called Expressing the Christian Life. Expressing the Christian life. We'll talk about what that means as we go through the word of the Lord tonight. As you turn into Philippians chapter 2, this is a very familiar passage for me. I actually memorized this verse when I was very young in the faith. Well, kind of one of those things that I was doing, just doing some scripture memorization, and it stuck with me. And this year, in the beginning of the year, it keeps coming back to me. You know, when you start having things come back to you over and over again, God may be trying to get your attention. And so this verse has come back to me. One time I was just talking to my wife, and she had brought up this scripture. Another time I was talking to my son, the scripture came back up. And so as I was meditating on this verse, I thought, you know what, this is a great verse for us, especially in a season like we're in right now, where we're starting out our year, kind of looking forward to what God is doing, making preparations for the rest of the year. You know, all of us in our life are going to express ourselves in a certain fashion, whether that be through the way we look, the way we dress, that's an expression. Sometimes the way that we act, you know, you can express yourself as a happy person or as a forceful person or as a angry person, right? Those are all expressions. You can express yourself in words. You can express yourself in pictures, right? In fact, people are making billions of dollars off of people expressing themselves in pictures online right now. But for all of us, we're all going to express ourselves a certain way. And I believe that throughout our year, that we see that expression coming out of our lives. And if we're going to do it the right way, we need to do it God's way. Come on, can somebody say amen to that? Because you don't want to do just whatever the world is doing. That's static, that's noise, and that's not going to get you where God wants you to be. But each and every one of us, in the expression of our life, if we do this God's way, then we'll get God's results. And I've seen the results of the world, right? We've tried that. We've done that. We've tasted that. We've seen that. And we realize that it's empty and it doesn't work. That it will give you passing pleasures, but it won't be lasting. Philippians chapter 2, I want to take a look at verse number 14 through verse number 16. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse number 14. Says this in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. How many of you are just so thankful that you came to church tonight? Right? Praise the Lord. Pastor's already telling me what not to do. But listen, this is actually a positive command. Did you realize that? He says, do all things without some things, right? What are those things that we are to do? We are to do all things. Did you know that in the original Greek language, that all things means all things? Yeah, some of you guys are Greek scholars in this place. That's good. That's good. But all things means all things. That means that when you're on the job, you're to do these things. When you're at home with your family, you're to do these things. When you're out with your friends, you're to do these things. When you're in the community, when you're driving on the 10 freeway. Hello, some of you guys coming here tonight. Come on, somebody. But it says to do all things, but do all things without some things. What are those things without? Without complaining and without disputing. Problem is, we like to complain, don't we? In fact, I think it was one of the comedians of old said that the English language grew and became more expressive because we had a deep need to express our complaints. See, each and every one of us, we have to watch ourselves because the Bible does talk to us and warn us about complaining. That's what got the children of Israel in trouble in the wilderness, right? It was their complaints against the Lord. God said, I've heard their complaints. And then 1 Corinthians tells us, don't complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Oh my gosh. Start thinking about it that way. But it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. You don't need to cause division, arguments. You don't need to cause frustrations with people or go get in someone's face. That's not what this is about. That we are to do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15, that, everybody say that. Here's the reason why you're to do all things without some things, without those complaints and without those disputes. That you may become blameless and harmless. Notice no one can come and say those Christians are hypocrites. No one can come and say, I don't like those Christians. They're just a bunch of complainers, bunch of whiny babies. I hear them complaining all the time. Complain about this, complain about that. They didn't like the former president. Then new president got in office. They didn't like this guy. Well, who do you like, Christians, right? No one can come and lay blame against you if you're not complaining. But also he says, blameless and harmless. In other words, you won't do other people damage if you're not complaining and if you're not disputing. Do you know it's a bad witness when we complain? That people are looking at our lives and they take a look at Christians, and when they hear us complain and when they hear us disputing, they're actually looking to see whether or not they want to follow our faith. And if that's what they hear out of us, they're saying, I don't want none of that. That's what I get from my mother-in-law. That's what I get from my spouse, right? That's what I get out there in the community. People talking about they don't like this, they don't like that. The politicians, the education system, everybody's got a gripe against someone else. Why would I want to be a Christian if they're no different? He says that you may become blameless and harmless. Look at what it goes on to say. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Guys, this is written about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. It's going to get darker before it gets brighter, right? But it's always darkest just before dawn. So we know we're in the last days. I mean, look around the earth. You see all of the growth pains, all of the birth pangs, right? We know that this thing is getting ready to be wrapped up. But Jesus said that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that is circling around the toilet bowl, if we're honest, right? It's just a bunch of stuff going down. It says that you will be without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you notice when you got saved, God didn't just beam you up? I mean, that would have been nice, right? Just, you know what? I really want to be a Christian. Beam me up, Jesus. And all of a sudden, you're out of here. No more problems, no more pain, no more trials, no more temptations. But God left you here. Did you notice? And you're still dealing with stuff. Still dealing with problems. You still got neighbors. You still got people that are bugging you at the job. You still got stuff that's going on, stuff that bugs you. Why? Because look at what it says in the last part of this verse. He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. All they know is darkness. And God says, I left you here because I have a mission. I have a purpose for your life. I need you to shine so that other people can see the light and know how to get where they need to go, which is ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said, you are the light of the world, right? Now you have become light in him because God has given you his light. You have the light of life on the inside of you. Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. And now the expression of your life is to be a guidepost. It is to be a lamp. You are to be a lighthouse guiding people into safe harbor so that they don't get shipwrecked on the shores of life, but that they can come in and find safety, find the goodness, and find the light themselves in Jesus Christ. That's why God left you here. Look at what it says in verse 16. Holding fast the word of life. Holding fast. Don't let go. Holding fast the word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. See, the Apostle Paul had worked really hard. He's actually writing this from a prison cell. And he had gone through a lot of trials and a lot of problems. He had people that were hating on him. The Jews were following him from city to city. There were things that were taking place. You can read about it all throughout the book of Acts, and you can read about it all in Paul's letter, how they followed him around. They were beating him up. They were messing with him. He was just trying to preach the gospel. He's so frustrated at one point, he shook his clothes, he shook the dust off. He said, I'm not going to you guys anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles, right? I'm done with the Jews. And yet they still cause problems. He had riots happening all around. Things were taking place. He couldn't even go into cities. He couldn't even go in certain places because they feared for his life. People were warning him, don't go to Jerusalem, right? He had all kinds of problems. Yet he says, I know that I've gone through all this for a purpose. And the purpose is that you can live your life and express your life and that you can be a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ to the people around you. And he says that I would have not done this in vain, that it's not a vain effort. And it's no different with us today. You know, God left these words not just for a history lesson for us. This is not just words on a page. It's not just a history lesson. This is not a letter for us to look into and read someone else's mail. This is your mail. This is written to you. This is God's instruction manual. This is the word of God. This is a love letter for your life. And God has given you instruction. God has given us all the way to follow. So we see that we're to do all things without complaining and disputing. You know, some people will complain about anything. Have you ever met people like that? You ever sat down at a restaurant and had somebody just start complaining to you, didn't even know them? I think for a period of time, I had a sign on my head that said, come and waste my time with your complaints. I don't know what it was, but it was like following me. You know, I'd be, you know, taking my lunch break or something like that, go sit down at a restaurant and think, finally, I get to be alone. I get to catch up on my reading or emails or something like that. And all of a sudden, somebody sits down next to me and says, don't you just hate the weather? Some people will complain about anything, you know. I heard a story of the evangelist Billy Sunday. He was preaching one time, and he was preaching about the end times, and he's talking about hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and a woman jumped up in the crowd and said, but I ain't got any teeth. And he said, without skipping a beat, for you, ma'am, teeth will be provided. But people complain. Why? I think for some people, they're just passing the time. They don't have anything else to do. And so they decide, you know what? I need to do something. Well, I really hate that I have to do something. I just really hate the fact that I'm sitting here. I hate the fact that I don't have anything to do. And so they complain. I think other people complain because they don't know how to relate with others. You ever had that, right? Maybe it's a coworker or a relative or something like that. Every time they talk to you, it always starts this way. Can you believe? And you just know it's coming, right? Can I believe what? Can I believe how bad it is? Can I believe how terrible your life is? You know, you ever been around a person they want to do top that testimony? You know what top that testimony is? That's when you say, man, I've just been going through it lately. I just don't know what's going on. It's like the devil's just attacking and we're having a hard time. And somebody says, oh man, you think that's bad. And then all of a sudden, it's time to top that testimony. Man, you think that you're bad. Yeah, your dog died. I had two dogs and a cat die. Man, your grandma just passed. I had a grandma, an uncle, and a second cousin. You know, and all of a sudden, it's top that testimony. Well, yeah, I had a bad past. You know, I was into drugs and sex. And I said, oh, you think you had it bad? I went to jail. You know, I was like, God, can you just go over there? You know, just somewhere. You know, you don't need, just go, you know. But I think that sometimes people don't know how to relate. And for the children of God, we should be different. For the children of God, people should want to be around us. You know, the Bible tells us that in the book of Acts that the early church had the respect of the people. They may not have joined them. They may not have been wanting to go and be a part of their group, but they had the respect of the people. Why? Because they were different. They had a reputation. And for us as Christians today, people should look at our lives and say, you know what? You're different. What's different about you? Layoffs are going on in the job. Sweeping layoffs, right? And you're just chilling. Don't have a problem with it. You're at peace. Why? Not complaining. Because you know that the job is not your provider. The Lord is your provider. They can lay everybody off. They can lay me off. But listen, guess what? God's going to provide for me. God's going to take care of me. That's not my purpose. God is the one who gives me purpose. My job is what I use to pay the bills. But you know what? My job is being a full-time minister and doing the best job I can do at that job. And if they take that natural job away, I'm not without purpose. I'm still a full-time minister of the gospel. And I'll go do that job somewhere else while I make money. Hello? I'll be a witness and a testimony for Jesus in any and every situation that I'm in. Why? Because I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to cause a dispute and stir up trouble when it doesn't need to be stirred up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 4 in the Message paraphrase. I'll put it up on the overheads for you. I just love how it says. It says, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. I love that. See, when you got saved, you got a new nature on the inside of you. That old nature, that old man, the Bible says, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, we know that that's talking about a spiritual reality that's happened in our life. When you get born again, your spirit is born again. You are brand new on the inside. But we also understand that our mind, even though our spirit is new, our mind has to be renewed according to the Word of God. And so that's why we get into the Word. That's why we start to learn the principles of God. That's why we get into church, and that's why we talk about these things, you know, and that's why we grow in these areas, is because our mind is continuously being renewed to the things of God. So our spirit is new, our mind is being renewed, and our bodies one day when we go to be with the Lord will be renewed. We'll get a new body, right? We'll cast off this old dirty tent as wore out, right? Tore up from the floor up, and we will get a new body. I'm getting one with abs. Praise the Lord. I just love the laughs right now. I just got to savor that moment for a second. It just feels good. Praise God. But I think most people complain because that's the language of the flesh. And they haven't yet learned the language of faith. It's the language, it's the natural dialect of the flesh. Let me show this to you in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You want to turn there with me? Go ahead. Turn back a couple books. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The apostle is writing the Corinthian church and he starts to point out, you guys are carnal. Carnal means fleshly, right? Carnal, the word comes from carne, like a meat. You know what I'm saying? Like chili con carne. So when you act carnally, you're being fleshly minded. That means you're a meathead, okay? Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 3. He says, for you are still carnal. You're still meatheads, guys. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? The Amplified says, unregenerate men. Aren't you acting like the rest of the world? You're not acting like Christians. Why? Because you're still using the old language of the flesh. And when the language of the flesh is coming out, you can tell that you're acting like a meathead instead of acting like a Godhead, right? That's why we renew our minds to the word of the Lord. We do not allow ourselves to wrap the word of God around the current culture and society. I'm not going to bend the word of God. The word of God is immovable. It is eternal. The word of the Lord stands forever. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of the Lord stands forever. That means that I don't bend the word of God. It cannot be bent. It's unbendable. But I move over and align myself with the word of God. The word of God will not line up with me, with my ideas, my philosophies, with the worldly ways, that sort of a thing. I line myself up with the word of God. And that's what God is speaking to us about the expression of our lives. With our mouths, do everything without complaining and disputing. Another word for this is grumbling. That word complaints could also be talked about a grumble, like a low murmur in a room. In fact, Jesus, you'll find Jesus encountered this murmur. There were times where he'd say something, the whole room would start. And he'd say, does this offend you? And he'd call him out on it. You know, in ancient Greek, they talked about pigeons and doves, that little that they would make, you know. Kind of a mindless motion. We got to talk about it. We got to just say something about it. We got to do something about it. The disputes, it's talk, right? Here's the disciples of Jesus disputing about who's the greatest. And Jesus comes up, and I would imagine Jesus probably put them on blast, but he did it nice because he's Jesus. And he probably walked up knowing what they were talking about and did like this. What you guys talking about? Because he knew. They were talking about who's the greatest. There was a dispute that arose among them. And God is telling us, do all things without. You don't need that murmuring, that grumbling, that you don't need any of that stuff. You don't need the disputes. Do it all without. Why? So that we can be blameless. See, if we want to shine, then we have to be different. Look at verse 15 in Philippians chapter 2 once again. Turn back with me to Philippians chapter 2. I should have had you put your finger there, but you found it once. You can find it again real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 this time. Look at what it says. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. One translation says you will look like stars in the universe. That's a pretty neat thought, isn't it? That all of that blackness, when you think about space, right, the final frontier, when you start thinking about that, you've got this big black canvas. But every Christian should be a point of light that you can see. And when you realize how brightly we can shine, when you realize how distant those stars are, mind-boggling, we can't even wrap our minds around light years and that sort of a thing, how far those things really are. But when you start to think about the vastness of it, it just blows your mind. That's what God says you will be as a Christian. Doesn't matter how much darkness is out there, people will be able to find your light when you control your tongue. Come on, is anybody listening tonight? Heard a story of a monk, went to a church and decided to sign up, and there his superior was talking to him. He said, what do you want to do? He says, well, I'm going to take a vow of silence. He said, okay, I'm going to give you 10 years. And so after 10 years, he came back and he said, you've taken a vow of silence, but I'm going to give you two words to say. What would you like to tell me after 10 years of silence? What do you think about the place? And so he says, bad food. And so he sends him away for another 10 years. After another 10 years, he comes back. He says, what do you think now? And he says, bed hard. And so he sends him away. 10 years later, he comes back. He says, what do you got to say after this section of 10 years? He says, I quit. He says, well, that doesn't surprise me at all. You've done nothing but complain since you got here. This is good stuff tonight, guys. I'm just excited. See, if we could just hold our tongues, I believe that we could be a better witness. When stuff's going on out there in the world, what do you think? I think God's good. Well, you think God's good with all this darkness around, all this bad stuff? Yep, it just means that God's light is shining brighter. See, if you can control your tongue, if we can know when to shut up, right? Somebody's messing around on the job. Everybody's throwing them under the bus. They're kicking them while they're down. What do you think? I don't have an opinion about that. I'm praying for them. Right? If we can learn these things, you know, the Bible even tells us, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, even a fool is considered wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. You know, there have been times where I've been in a room and I've had something to say, but I didn't say it. And it's gone all the way around the room with opinions and people saying stuff and all that. And after everybody's had their say, somebody looks up and realizes that I haven't said a word. And they say, well, what does Dan think? He hasn't said a word, right? Now everybody's leaning in, listening. No one was listening before. Why? Because everybody's talking. But this young fool over here was thought wise because I just sat there and held my tongue. And I've been able to speak into people's lives because why? Because I knew when to stay silent and when to give an opinion and express what was on my heart. See, there are times where we can give our opinions and people can think of us a fool, or we can hold our tongue, right? And they can think us to be wise. When we have the wisdom of God, we have the words of life. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And therefore, when we sit back and when we just keep our heads down, do our job, continue to be that bright shining light with our lives, there will come a day where somebody says, hey, what do you have to say? Because I see it on you. I see that you're different. You don't get bugged about stuff around here. What is that all about? You know, I've been in the neighborhood for a long time and everybody else has moved in, moved out. People are freaked out, but you're still here. You're still stable. What's going on with you? Why are you different? And it will be a witness and a testimony for others. Ephesians chapter 4, you're there in Philippians. Turn a couple pages back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at what verse number 29 has to say. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. In fact, as a young Christian, when I was developing my beliefs and just kind of learning about this whole Christianity thing, this verse lit me up. It was like a ton of bricks fell on me, in fact. Look what it says in Ephesians 4, verse number 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, when a Christian talks, our speech should be to build up and not to break down. You understand? Because the Bible tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. With your mouth, you can either build up or you can break down. Parents in the room, you understand this. With your children, you can either build your children up or you can break your children down. There have been times where I've been disciplining my children and out of anger, gone too far, and I've seen my children just crumble right in front of me. And I've had to repent, I've had to say I'm sorry, and then I've had to lift them up and encourage them. There's been other times where I've seen that they were on the brink of something, that they needed discipline, but at the same time, they didn't just need what they did wrong. They needed to know how to do it right. And so with my words, I was able to chasten them and discipline them, say, hey, that's not the way that we act. That's not what we're doing. But listen, in the future, this is how this is going to happen because you're smart and you're able to do this. And because I know that God has gifted you and you're going to have a great life. See, even in those things that are tough and difficult, we can continue to edify, right? We can strengthen others. Same thing in your marriages, right? You know that there are times when you're talking to your spouse and they push the red button. You know what the red button is, whoever you are married in this place, right? That's that no touch button where you just know we stay off of this. But then all of a sudden you get in the middle of an argument and they're walking over, kind of their fingers twitching, right? And you said, don't you touch. You just get away from there right now. Don't you go there. And all of a sudden they're kind of like, you know, and they push the red button. And all of a sudden it just sets you off on the inside and you start to tear them down. You say, oh, you're going to go there? Well, let me go here. Let me remind you of this. Let me bring this back up. Let me talk to you. And all of a sudden you're breaking and you're tearing down. In the midst of it all, you're tearing down your own house. But see, in the midst of that, even if they push the red button, don't let it get to you. You know, go have your hissy fit somewhere else some other time. Give it to the Lord, whatever you need to do. But say, listen, even though you're going to go there and play dirty, listen, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to build you up. You are the one that I love. I married you. We're in this together. We're going to make it. We can take anything. This is not how we're going to act. This is not how this is going to end. We're not going to let the devil come in here and fool us and be a couple of chumps tearing down our own house. We're going to build one another. We're going to love each other more. We're going to not let the sun go down on our anger. We're going to work this thing out. We've got the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ. We can work out any problem, anything that comes our way. We can take it. And guess what? Tomorrow morning, we're waking up better. That's how it's going to be. See, you can either tear down with your words or you can build up. This works in any situation in your life. If you're an employer, if you're an employee, build up your boss, build up your employees. In the community, when you see some grocery bagger that's out there asking you, would you like to pay 10 cents for a bag? And you're like, no, I would not like to pay 10 cents for a bag. Who's getting that money? Why do I have to pay for bags? I never had to pay for bags before. But see, rather than tear them down with your ideas about the bags and the democracy and all that kind of stuff in the state of California, why not say, you know what? I brought my own bags. Isn't God good? Isn't this a great day? Hey, how are you doing today? Can I pray for you? You know what? You're doing a great job. The fact that you asked me, man, you're going to be a manager pretty soon. And build somebody up. They're going to walk away going, man, I like that guy. I like that lady. I hope she comes back next week, right? They'll be looking for you. You know, I heard the story of Cheryl Salem. Many of you guys know Cheryl Salem. She's come and ministered at our church, 1980 Miss America, just a wonderful woman of God. When she was a little girl, I think it was the milkman came to her house, and he told her, you're so pretty, someday you're going to be Miss America. She held on to that throughout her life and became Miss America. See, our words have power. Our words have power. Our words have influence. Our words are seeds that can grow. And as we sow them, we need to make sure we're sowing the right seed and building people's lives and not breaking people's lives down. See, it says that it may impart grace to the hearer. Grace is ability. Grace is power. In fact, we define God's grace as God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. See, when you speak words, your words have power. Your words have ability on the inside of them. So how do we know whether or not our words will build up or tear down? How do we express the right things? Verse number 16, look at it in Philippians chapter number 2 once again. In Philippians chapter number 2. Verse number 16, it says, holding fast the word of life. See, it's the word of life that makes all the difference. John chapter 1, just an amazing chapter in the Bible. Turn there with me. I want to take a look at verse number 1 through verse number 5 and show you how this works. John chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 5, kind of the genesis of the New Testament, talking about eternal realities of things that were taking place before the world began. And in John chapter 1, verse number 1, look at what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Now, that expression, the Word, is the Logos. It is the complete Word of God. It's everything that could be known about God. It's the complete expression of God. Remember, we're talking about tonight the expression of your life. So Jesus is the expression of God. Other translations say, in the beginning was the voice of God, and the voice was with God, and the voice was God. See, this is talking about Jesus. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, tells us that God in times past spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he's chosen to speak to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of his glory. He is the image of the invisible God. That the fullness of God dwells in him bodily. That means that everything God had to say to us, everything God wanted to express to us about himself, he did it in the word Jesus Christ. Everybody's tracking? Okay, because we're going to build on this principle in a moment. Verse number 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now we know that Jesus came, and Jesus was that light that brought us out of darkness. And he gave us life, and he gave us light. How did he do that? Through the expression of his life. Through going to the cross and dying for each and every one of us. Verse number 5, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Another translation says that darkness could not overcome it. In other words, the darkness contrasted with the light, you could say, is good and evil. Now, not just good as according to what the world says, but remember, we're talking about the Word. That is what God says. It's the expression of God, expression of who He is. And when there's an expression of God, the darkness, anything that's contrary to that, right? Darkness is in contrast to light. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God cannot comprehend or overcome the light. So you say, I wonder if there are things that I can speak, things that I can say, expressions from my life that I can give that will impart grace to the hearer. Now remember, grace is power. Jesus Christ came, and you read on in the first chapter of John, you'll find Jesus was full of grace and truth. That means anytime that you speak the word, if the expression of your life is Jesus Christ from the inside coming out through your mouth, and you're sowing the seed of the word, that word has life, that word has light, and that word has power and ability to bring out of itself that which it was sent forth to do. Is somebody getting a picture of this tonight? See, this is the expression of every Christian's life. We are all vessels. The book of Corinthians tells us that we are earthen vessels. We may be dirty. Some of us have tall vessels. Some of us have short vessels. Some of us have stout vessels. Some of us have beanpole thin vessels like you see up here tonight. Some of us have different color vessels, right? Some of us have lighter vessels. Some of us have darker vessels, okay? All of us have different earth suits that we wear. We are all earthen vessels. Brought from the dust we came, and to the dust we shall return if Jesus doesn't come before that takes place. We are just dirt, right? Earthen vessels. And yet God chose to shine His light, to put His glory, Christ in us. And now we have this treasure on the inside of us. And now we bear that light, and we can pour out of our lives the expression of our lives. If we can express the Word of God, if what's on the inside of us can get on the outside of us. See, if you've got a jar and you fill it up with grape juice, when you pour that thing out, what can come out? I didn't hear orange juice. Why not? But what if I like orange juice? But you filled it up with what? Grape juice. If you fill it up with water, but you want wine to come out unless Jesus does a miracle. You're getting water, right? See, it's a simple principle. Whatever you fill yourself up with and that which you allow to come out, see, that's why the book of James talks about the tongue. He says salt water and fresh water can't come out of the same spring. So the question for us all is, what are we tapped into? Is the river of living water coming up out of our lives and being expressed to a lost and dying world? See, when you've got Jesus on the inside and when you're full of His word, somebody can jar you, somebody can kick you, somebody can turn you over, but the only thing that can come out is Jesus. Come on. That is the expression of your life. We are to speak the word. Our lives are made in the image of God. And the words we express, we now express who we are to others. What expressions do we give when we speak? See, complaining and disputing, like we talked about before, will only give the wrong impression. It's the wrong expression of our lives. It'll express that we're no different than anyone else. But praise, thanksgiving, graceful speech will all show who we are and shine the light. Speak the word, church. I want to close with this verse. John chapter 6, verse number 63. Jesus is speaking. He says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I made it my life's goal to be a student of the word and to study the word, but not only to stop there, just filling myself up, but also to speak the word, to impart grace to people when I talk to them, that everybody who comes my way, when they come to me, they're going to leave better than when they came. I want to build somebody. Somebody's going to walk away a little bit taller when they leave me. Why? Because I pump them up and I encourage them. You know, I got to say this about my in-laws. They don't like it when the focus is on them, but Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, our founders, are two of the biggest cheerleaders on the planet. You cannot get around them without them telling you how wonderful you are. I think that's why the church grew so big, is because everybody at the back door just wanted to say hi, Pastor Jim, and get encouraged, right? They flocked to it. Why? Because people want to be encouraged. They don't want to be torn down. They get enough of that out there in the world. They already know they're funky. They already know that they smell bad. They already know that they can't make it. But they need somebody to come along and tell them, you have value. You have worth. I love you. Jesus loves you. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right, honey child. Come on. You can do this. And when you speak the word, you will get the God result if that is the expression of your life. Fill up on the word, speak the word, allow it to renew you, wash you, cleanse you of that old way, and let that river come on up out of you. Did you guys get something from the word of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.